Drishtaha. It is experienced by everyone. Shamaha. Fatigue. Karmataha. From acting in some way. Atmanaha. Of the soul. Vai. Indeed. Bartuhu. Of one who is carrying the palanquin. Gantuhu. Of one who is moving. Bhavataha. Of yourself. Cha. And. Anumanye. I guess like that. Yata. As much as. Asata. With something that is not an actual fact. Uda. Of water. Anayanaari. Of the bringing and other such tasks. Abhavat. From the absence. Samulaha. Based on evidence. Ishtaha. Respected. Vyavahara margaha. Phenomenon. Translation. You have said, I am not fatigued from labor. Although the soul is different from the body, there is fatigue because of bodily labor. And it appears to be the fatigue of the soul. When you are carrying the palanquin, there is certainly labor for the soul. This is my conjecture. You have also said that the external behavior exhibited between the master and the servant is not factual. But although in the phenomenal world it is not factual, the products of the phenomenal world can actually affect things. That is visible and experienced. As such, even though material activities are impermanent, they cannot be said to be untrue. So you can repeat. You have said, I am not fatigued from labor. Although the soul is different from the body, there is fatigue because of bodily labor. And it appears to be the fatigue of the soul. When you are carrying the palanquin, there is certainly labor for the soul. This is my conjecture. You have also said that the external behavior exhibited between the master and the servant is not factual. But although in the phenomenal world it is not factual, the products of the phenomenal world can actually affect things. That is visible and experienced. As such, even though material activities are impermanent, they cannot be said to be untrue. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is a discussion on impersonal Mayavada philosophy and the practical philosophy of Vaishnavas. The Mayavada philosophy explains this phenomenal world to be false. But Vaishnava philosophers do not agree. They know that the phenomenal world is a temporary manifestation, but it is not false. A dream that we see at night is certainly false, but a horrible dream certainly affects the person seeing it. The soul's fatigue is not factual, but as long as one is immersed in the illusory bodily conception, one is affected by such false dreams. When dreaming, it is not possible to avoid the actual facts, and the conditioned soul is forced to suffer due to his dream. A water pot is made of earth and is temporary. Actually, there is no water pot. There is simply earth. However, as long as the water pot can contain water, we can use it in that way. It cannot be said to be absolutely false. Okay. So, drishta shrama karma atmano vai bartur gantur bhavatas chanumanye yatashato dana yanadya bhavat samula ishto vyabhara margaha. So, om ganatya madandasya gananjana shlakaya chakshur miritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, the first point is the king here is using the expression, this is my conjecture, or as we say in ordinary English, I think it is like this. And Prabhupada said, when you talk like that, you're not on the absolute platform. I think it must be. You have to be sure when you're speaking about Krishna consciousness. Obviously, when you're speaking about ordinary things, like you're driving your car and you're saying, well, I think it's a right turn here, that's okay to say that. It's not that you say, well, that's Maya. You're saying, I think. You shouldn't, Prabhupada said, you shouldn't say, I think. But when dealing with spiritual subject matters, you shouldn't be say, you know, I think that there's a God, or I think the material world is temporary, or I think that the Lord appeared 5,000 years ago. It's the Lord appeared. And Prabhupada would always speak with great conviction whenever he would speak about Krishna consciousness. I mean, managerial things is another thing. When you're talking about, well, I think maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. But when you're speaking about absolute subject matters from the Vyasa Sam, then everything has to be based upon Shastra, Guru Shastra and Sadhu. I mean, you have to be able to give references for things. Just like Prabhupada described, it's like a lawyer who was in court. The lawyer can't say to the judge, you know, I think we passed a law like this about 2 years ago. I think he's innocent. It just doesn't work like that. You have to say, my dear judge, in this citation, 10, 21, 31, 64 of law book 256, written in the year 1923, it states this. And the decision was reached in the Supreme Court that verified this in 1922, you know, whatever. You have to be able to, basically the lawyer has to be able to teach the judge law. Prabhupada said that one time. The judge has to be taught law by the lawyer. Because actually, it's interesting that in America that the judge doesn't have to be a lawyer to be a judge. Did you know that? There's many judges that are not lawyers. Especially the ones on TV, Judge Judy. Anyway, that's a different one. But it's true. I mean, you can get many judge positions are elected positions, especially the traffic court judge. And so the lawyer, in many cases, knows more about the law than the judge does. And certainly the lawyer knows more about the law than the jury does. You know what a jury is? Everybody's entitled, with criminal law, you're entitled to a jury trial. That means your peers. Peers means people on the same level, you know, who were ordinary citizens. Just like some of us have gotten notices from the government, you have to serve in a jury. Anyone here ever got a notice like that? We got notices, right? And we don't know anything about the law. You know, what do I know, you know? So, of course, one time I was called for jury duty, and they said, are you against capital punishment or for it? I said, for it. You know, so they asked me my own particular prejudices insofar as different legal situations are concerned. So anyway, I never served on it because they discovered I was a Hare Krishna. That's a disqualification for serving on jury. Not really, but anyway, somehow or other I didn't. I wanted to because you get paid for each day you're on jury duty. And I thought I could just read Bhagavatam during the whole thing. So anyway, the lawyer has to preach to the jury. But the lawyer just can't preach like his own realizations. You know, I think it's like this. Or I realized you have to be kind to this poor person. He has to give citations. So in the same way, Prabhupada said, when we're speaking from the absolute platform, we have to give citations. That means we have to be educated in order to preach Krishna consciousness. You have to be educated in Shastra if you want to be a preacher. It's not that you can just like say, well, we're not the body, and someone says, why do you believe that? I mean, because this is called the epistemological question. Epistemological means, how do you know, or why do you know what you know? So you have to be able to say, you know, why you believe what you believe in. Because you walk to someone in the street and says, you're not the body. Okay. Why should I believe you? Well, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, Deinosmin yatadehe komaram yavanam jara tatade hantaras praptir tiras prapta namuyate, which means that the embodied soul is passing from boyhood to youth and then to old age, and such a self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. So you have to be able to pull the Bhagavad Gita out. I mean, just like even the Christians. They misinterpret, of course, the Bible in most cases in their presentation, but they do pull the Bible out. Of course, most of the times they're taking the indirect meaning rather than direct meaning of what Lord Jesus says. Or they're taking the statements of the so-called followers of Jesus Christ who are not actually following Jesus Christ, you know, the theologians and such. You know, like someone said, like they come up to you and they say, animals have no souls. And I asked them, I said, where does it say that in the Bible? And they can't find it in the Bible. Then the most they can find is where it says, God says, you shall have dominion over all the creatures. I said, having dominion doesn't mean the people you're having dominion over or the entities you're having dominion over have no souls. It just doesn't make sense. You know, so you got to prove it from the Bible. And one of my godbrothers, Satyaraj Prabhu, published a book with different quotes from the Bible that actually coincide with much of the Vedic philosophy. And the book is called That. You mean that's in the Bible? And so the devotees sometimes would take excerpts from this particular book on Sankirtan where Lord Jesus Christ says things about reincarnation or vegetarianism, or it says in the Old Testament, he who kills an ox is the same as he who kills a man. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting statement, and they would bewilder the Christians because, you know, you have to be able to quote scripture. Of course, you don't want to take things out of context to prove any damn point. There's like in the Christian world, they say the devil quotes scripture. So you can prove things, but you have to know the contextual. Contextual means where that particular statement is and how it's verified by other statements. So Prabhupada wanted his followers to be able to engage in citing Shastra to prove different points. And of course, we cite Shastra, we cite Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So that really keeps us in the straight and narrow path of devotional service. I mean, really, you can go into any Hare Krishna temple, and pretty much they're preaching the same philosophy, pretty much. But, you know, they're pretty much the same thing. You know, you're getting up at the same time every morning, roughly, you know, give or take 15 minutes or 5 hours. But, you know, people are getting up. This is Mangal Arati, isn't it? It's just like there's a standard. It's not like too much open for speculation. I mean, you don't find people chanting Om during Mangal Arati in the Hare Krishna temple unless they leave the Krishna Consciousness Movement, which happened in New Vrindavan for a while. They were chanting, I don't know what they were chanting, they had candles and they were just sitting in chairs and silently chanting during their Mangal Arati. But that they had left the movement. But as long as people follow Prabhupada, then everything is pretty much standardized. So anyway, so this is the first point I wanted to make. Maharaj Rahugana says, this is my conjecture. So who cares about your conjecture? Anyway, it's just your conjecture means guess. It's just my guess, or I think, or something like that. So that's the epistemological point. So we have to be able to answer with Shastra. Okay. Then there's the whole question. About the material nature itself. Is it real? Is it unreal? And then you have Krishna in the Gita indicating that in one sense the material nature is unreal, and in another sense it is real. In this famous the 16th verse of the second chapter of the Gita, Nasato vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sataha uviyarapi drishto antas 20os tatvadarshavi. He says that the sages say that those things that are impermanent are non-existent. Impermanent. Impermanent means they have a beginning and an end. And those things which are permanent are, in other words, real. So you have this particular statement there, so then you start to think, so does that mean everything here is unreal? And so you really have to understand things with more intelligence than just taking one verse that Krishna cites in the Gita, because otherwise if you just take that verse, you'll think nothing is real, strawberry fields forever, as the Beatles sung in the 1960s. So we need some education. Understanding that there is a certain type of reality the material world has, but the unreality is in our perception of the material world. In other words, we're perceiving it to be permanent. That's what's unreal. So there is an unreality, and that unreality regards our perception, not the substance itself. The substance is there, it's real, it's even eternal. What do I mean by eternal? It changes form. It's endlessly mutable, as Krishna says. But it's still eternal. The material energy is eternal. Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's five different topics. And one of those topics is the material energy. And that material energy is eternal. The soul is eternal. Of course, Krishna is eternal. Time is eternal. And there's one thing that's not eternal. Karma. Karma is the one thing that's not eternal. The five basic topics, according to Baladev. This is Baladev Vidyabhushan who talks about these five topics. And Prabhupada quotes him in his introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. So the material energy is changing in form, but it's real. So in another sense, it's unreal because we're perceiving it, the form, to be permanent. That's the unreal thing. But if we perceive it in its real way, that it's endlessly mutable. And even the scientists talk about this. The scientists talk about how all matter is in motion. You know, the atoms and the molecules and everything, they're in continual flux and motion. Even though it appears to be solid, all these different elements here are in motion. So therefore, ultimately, this thing falls apart. But let's take the example of glass. Glass is actually, according to scientists, a liquid. I don't know if you knew this. It just flows very slowly. So you're thinking it's a solid. But if you look at a house that's, let's say, 100 years old, you'll see how it's actually a liquid. Because the window, it flows down, and the lower portion is actually thicker than the upper portion. It becomes distorted on the bottom. So glass is actually a liquid. And the whole world is like that, except it doesn't flow as much or as fast as glass does. And, of course, these bodies are definitely pretty liquidy. They're mostly water anyway. So they're changing. You could look at a picture of yourself. And when I go visit my mother, she has pictures of me as a little baby. And I'm thinking, how cute, how wonderful. And then pictures of me going to the university with my big beard and everything like that. And then pictures of me when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement. And then pictures, I don't know if she has any pictures of me now, because they're not so attractive. But in any case, I mean, everything's changing in the material world. So this is what we have to understand. That's the unreality. However, even within this changing material world, there's functionality, at least temporary functionality, in each of the different aspects of the material energy, how you use it in Krishna's service. Like Prabhupada talks about a pot here. And that reminds me of the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sat on the rejected cooking pots. And he said, basically the rejected cooking pots were considered unclean. And Mother Sachi, she was saying, why are you sitting on these unclean pots? And he says, what's the difference? There's no difference between clean and unclean. And Mother Sachi said, no, there is a difference between clean and unclean, and just some dirt and a pot, even though the dirt and the pot are actually made of the same substance, there is a difference. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why didn't you teach me about this earlier? Because he said, you're not letting me go to school, because they had forbade him from going to school, because they were worried that if he learned too much in school about the material energy, he would take sannyas, like his brother did. Like sometimes the parents say, don't you go to the Hare Krishna movement and learn, because you know, you'll take sannyas, or you renounce everything. So so anyway, so look, that was a story about Lord Chaitanya, who was preaching Mayavadi philosophy to his mother, and his mother said, you know, that's not true. Actually, there's a utility for the different things. So this is actually what is referred to here. There's a utility for everything, but our attachment, thinking these things are substantial or important, is the illusion. So why are we affected? The question is, why are we affected by these temporary things? You know, why are we affected when our body is working hard? And why does the soul think that it is fatigued? The soul doesn't actually get fatigued by labor. But why, for all intents and purposes, are we experiencing fatigue? Why, for all intents and purposes, are some of you thinking, when will the class end so we can eat? Are you experiencing hunger? I mean, the soul doesn't get hungry except for Krishna's service, but you know, why are you experiencing these things? Or why are you experiencing pain in your back? Why are you experiencing headaches? Why are you experiencing, I mean, we're experiencing so many things in the body right now. Or it's too cold, or it's too hot in here, or I'm tired, or, you know, I'm bored. You know, all these things are being experienced by different entities in this room simultaneously. Like Mother tells me, she's just like, her eyes are all swollen, and she's having a lot of trouble keeping them open. So she's experiencing tiredness. And so if she's different from the body, why is she experiencing these things? So you must be the same as the body. This is what the king is saying here. This is pretty much similar to a type of philosophy, actually the Christian philosophy, that there's a soul and there's a body, and we're actually both of these things put together. That's generally what people think. That the person is a combination of the soul and the body. And we, of course, know that the person is just the soul and the body is simply a covering. Word from our sponsor. So, the body is simply... So why is Mother Tulsi there experiencing tiredness? Are you tired? But you're not the body, you rascal. Right now you are. Or who else is experiencing any bodily symptoms? We all are. I mean, certain things, isn't it? We're experiencing. So if we're not the body, you know, what's happening? Well, the point is our attachment. Our desire to actually be the controller in this world. And because of our intense desire, which is false ego, beginning with false ego, the I and mine, my body. You know, if I say to you, you're not the body, then what am I? Then I'm nothing. Nobody here wants to be nothing. Or maybe if you're a Buddhist, you do want to be nothing. You say, what do you get a Buddhist for Christmas? Nothing. So, it's due to our attachment that we experience pleasure and pain. I mean, I know it sounds like it's really cruel. You know, if I say go to someone in the hospital, you know, some poor devotee in the hospital who's just had a heart attack and he's in pain. It's just due to your attachment, Prabhu. That's quite cruel, isn't it? Of course, we don't preach like that to someone, but we understand that it's due to our attachment to something that we experience different symptoms. And we've often given the example before, like if you're attached to your car and something happens to your car. I mean, of course, I give the example of one disciple who's remained nameless. He's very attached to his car and he's hit deer twice. Of course, he refuses to say that. He says the deer hit him. So you know, like the deer was driving the car and hit him or something. But he, because of his attachment, he says, I hit the deer, or the deer hit me. Instead of saying the deer hit my car, you know, the deer hit, I hit. You know, anyway, so there's complete identification. Maybe not complete, but partial identification with the car. And then he, every time he sees a deer, he experiences PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Because the deer hit his car. And he looks at the scratch on his car, and every time, another thing, because there's something wrong with the back door of the trunk. It's not a trunk, but it's like, anyway, the back door of the car where you access the luggage and everything like that. Every time I go to open it up, because he knows that I open it up the wrong way, and anyway, it slips off or something like that, and he has to take a while to bang it back into place, he starts to get nervous. He says, don't touch the back of my car. You know what I'm talking about? What is that called?
The hatchback.
Yeah, the hatchback. Because somehow or other, there's something broken. So when I do it, I just do it so quickly. I pull off the plastic. I'm not careful. So anyway, because he's attached. So because of that attachment, he's experiencing all these symptoms. I mean, all of us are attached to different things in this way. You know, beginning with the body, and of course, what to speak of the home, pumsa, sriya, bituni bama. You know, one's a householder, then there's the wife and the family and everything like that. I'm not saying you should give up all these things, so I'm just saying these attachments are there. And therefore, when something happens to any of these things, neither the body or the extended body, we experience pain or pleasure. So the point is to give up the attachments, you rascal. So I wish it was so that you are not tired. This is all nonsense. What?
It's gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's ready to keel over. So it doesn't work like that. You can't preach to someone about, that don't be attached to the body. Actually, you can't do a negative anyway. It's impossible to do a don't. So the point is to understand what's one's real identity. We were speaking about this a little bit last night, that one's real identity is a soul. But that really doesn't help us too much either. But what does the soul do? You know, if you just say your real identity is a soul, ham brahmasmi, still I'm not detached from the body. So what does the soul do? I mean, what are the soul's actions? What are you supposed to do with the soul? And that's Krishna consciousness. You know, you're supposed to develop your internal life in relationship to Krishna. You know, the five basic rasas. You're supposed to be doing internal service. I mean, this is a higher platform, a little higher platform of devotional service than we may be at right now. So you actually, it's called manaseva. Manasaseva. That means mental seva. And that mental vanasaseva progresses through different stages. In the beginning, you just realize, we talked about this a little bit last night, and I've been talking about this in Govardhan. The first thing is siddhadeha. You understand, at least theoretically, what your spiritual body is like in the spiritual world. You confirm it with the spiritual master, Gurudeva, Maya, Gopi, no, you're a cow. I remember one disciple, I told her, you're a cow in the spiritual world. She said, I want to do something sexy. Projecting a material conception. First of all, the Gopis are not like materially sexy, so... just crazy. So when you come to a... We should be aspiring for this. You know, you have to aspire for some goal. And the goal should be internal. More important than any external goal we can aspire for is the internal goal. Of course, pleasing the spiritual master, that's internal too. So we aspire to understand who we are in the spiritual world. I mean, we should desire that. I mean, of course, We should deserve it, as Prabhupada said, by serving the mission and pleasing him. But that should be an aspiration too. Not prematurely. And so first thing is this siddhadeya. And then when you know, it's a mental thing. You understand mentally, this is what I am in the spiritual world. And after that, there's swarup siddhi, where you begin to actually execute service to Krishna internally. And that's going on. So that really detaches you from what's happening externally. I mean, just like if a boy is engaged in playing a video game, he doesn't notice he's hungry. There's been instances of people dying from playing video games. Isn't it? They just die. I mean, they're just there. Especially in certain countries, they have these video games. Anyway, where they play online and they interact with people all over the world. And they're just like going like that. You know, I don't know the names of any of these games because I haven't played them. But they just get so absorbed that all the external, you know, pleasures and pains have become, again, can you imagine giving up eating and sleeping? So maybe you need to play video games, Mother Tulsi. So, no, I'm just joking. So that's the point. One is so absorbed internally, which is real. The video game is unreal. The video game is an illusion within an illusion. But if you become absorbed in your internal life, we should desire that internal life. I mean, perform your service is not that you could just sit down and it comes because you desire it. You have to deserve it. Serve externally the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with your full enthusiasm in Srila Prabhupada's society. And then, that internal life comes. And then the spiritual master guides you or other Vaishnavas guide you. And then you're absorbed internally. And so what's happening externally, you know, pleasure and pain, you're aware of it, but it's just like being aware of something that's happening in the dashboard of your car. It doesn't really influence you. You're not that attached to it anymore. You're so attached to what's happening internally that outside, you know, as they say, it doesn't faze you. It doesn't faze you. And so then the third stage of realizing your spiritual identity is something, you know, beyond what you're going to have in this lifetime. It's called Vastu Siddhi, which means in your next life, you take birth from one of the elderly gopis' wombs in where Krishna's pastimes are taking place. That's the third stage of realizing your spiritual body. And then after that, back to home, back to Godhead. So our Krishna consciousness is meant for becoming detached, but not by becoming detached directly, but by automatically becoming detached. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Cha. That automatically becoming detached by becoming attached to Krishna and your service to Krishna and the holy names. And of course, becoming attached to the holy names. And then automatically, you know, these other things are just like recede into the background, not so important. So, on that happy note, detachment. Vairagya. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shiksharta eka purusha purano. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira.